Heavenly Father, we thank you again for today. What a great day you've given us. Lord, may we not waste it. And Lord, may our time together today be spent honoring you. And Lord, may you be pleased with everything that you see, everything that you hear in this place today. King Jesus, we just thank you for all your work, all your love, the blood that you shed for us. Lord, we will never be able to thank you for that, but we thank you right now in this moment, in this place. Lead us now as we go to worship you. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I like it when, you know, guys speak. You know, I'll pick on Tim a little bit. He gets in, he say, "That's all I got." I might borrow that. I might just start closing my sermons that way. Some of you hit you watch it about 12:30 and go, "That's all you got." But man, I love it. I love it when we get to celebrate graduation from high school, graduation from things like a drug court, and just because it allows us not just to celebrate those achievements, but it allows us to celebrate King Jesus. Because this, man, I've said this before, and I probably say this until I take my last breath or until he comes again. I still yet cannot understand how people make it in this world without a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, I know, but for me, being a believer, I scratch my head sometimes and I say, God, it would be so much easier or so much more joy-filled or you know, just less stressful if you just walked with Christ. And but God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Man, y'all, it's been a... Before I get started, I want to say this too. I'm not singing because they keep moving the target, y'all. They keep trying to move the target, okay? And I'll fill you in if you're a visitor. I told them if we average for a month at least 75 people on a Sunday morning, that I would sing a solo. So they're counting and saying, "Oh, you're over the number. You got to sing this morning. We got three more weeks. They might not want to after they hear me sing. No, I'm just kidding. I love it though, y'all. I say that, I am joking a little bit, but I say that with all seriousness. We're glad you're here this morning. And I love Sunday mornings, y'all. As crazy and hectic as they are, I love Sunday morning. I really do. And not because I get to get up here and share what God's laid on my heart, but Sunday morning is kind of our day just to stop and think and meditate and relax and just embrace the love of our Father. And I know, y'all, if you're like me, it's hard to do that Monday through Saturday because you just, man, go. But when we come into this place, it's a safe place, and we can just, you know, turn all that stuff off. We can open our minds and open our hearts and say, "Jesus, I want to hear from you today." You know, and I just love Sunday mornings. Just love Sunday mornings. But today we're actually going to stop, or we're going to conclude the series that we've been in. Some of you are going, "Yes, finally, right?" But that series of more than just a name. But throughout this series of messages, I hope that you have discovered the power and presence of God in and around you and your life. You know this, God is always present. Sometimes we might not feel that, or we think that we know that he's not present, but I'll just say this, he is. He's always present. And he's always ready to interact with you and the people in your life. He's just waiting on you to acknowledge him. He's waiting on you to accept him, to receive his invitation. And you say, "Well, I've already received that invitation." Well, guess what? If you're saved and you receive that invitation of salvation, yeah, but he's inviting you just to sit sometimes and talk with him. You ever think about that? He's inviting you to just sit sometimes and let him talk to you. That's the hard part for us, especially me. Because I like to talk. And he reminds me sometimes, will you just be quiet? I'm trying to show you something or tell you something, right? So God is present all the time, and he's always inviting us into something. If I think about our experience in God study, he's inviting us to find out what, Randy? Where he's at work, right? Where's he working at? And then do what?
Join.
I'm going to say it this way. Jump in, y'all. Feet first, right over your head. Don't even put the life jacket on. Just do it, right? God's always present, and he's always inviting us into his presence, into his work, into his world. Now, once you decide to do that, to accept that invitation, and I'll say it this way, if you decided to believe in Jesus and you've decided to put your eternal trust in him as your friend, as your Savior, as your Lord, then God does this unique thing, this irreparable thing, and it's something that'll never change. If you've accepted him and you trust him, guess what he'll do? He'll put a stamp of blessing on you. He puts a stamp of blessing on every Christian, and it's a fulfillment of his promises to never leave you nor forsake you. You've ever heard that before? That's a promise. When God says, hey, you know what? If you've accepted my invitation, then I'm never going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you. I could stop. Y'all could say, hey, that's enough. Move on, right? Let's pray, let's sing, let's get out of here, and that would be enough for today. But I just want you to hear that promise one more time. If you accept the invitation of Jesus Christ, then the promise, one of the promises, is that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Did I say earlier, did y'all hear me say earlier, God's always present. Amen. Always present. That stamp, though, that he puts on you, That blessing when you accept the invitation, the Bible says that he places his spirit, not just into your mind or into your life, but the Bible says that he does what? Places his spirit into your heart, and he seals it there until the day you enter into his eternal presence. Paul explains it this way, from Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. It should be up on the screen. But it says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Now in all of that, you know what word I like in all of that? I like the word guarantee. We live in a world, boy, we want a guarantee, don't we? Everything, you ever buy something and you say, well, how do I know that thing's going to work tomorrow? I want some kind of guarantee, right? I love that word guarantee because it reminds me that Jesus has already paid the price. He's already paid my sin debt on the cross and in the tomb. In other words, he's done that, which means I get a guarantee. I get a guarantee. It reminds me also that God sealed his spirit in my heart for more than just that singular purpose. You know, so many people say, well, I've accepted Jesus. I got my salvation. I'm good. Right? And is that enough? Will that get you into heaven? Absolutely. But I just love how God works. God's guarantee is more than just that. More than just that guarantee of salvation. Paul is saying that God has put his stamp of possession on every believer in the form of the Holy Spirit. And by doing so, God is formally pledging to honor all his promises and accept that Jesus' work on your behalf fulfills every condition necessary for you to stand before him as righteous and worthy. I ought to read that again, but that's a long sentence. I'm not going to do it. But what I want you to hear in that is when you accept Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is placed in your heart and God comes and he stamps that and he seals that, then that's God formally saying, you belong now to me. And because you now belong to me, one day when you stand in my presence, you stand before me, I'm going to look and I'm going to see that seal and I'm going to say, that one right there is one of mine. That's a guarantee, y'all. Amen. That's a guarantee. When the Holy Spirit lives in your heart, you receive the promise of a family inheritance. Now, we live in a world where we love inheritance, don't we? And I'm trying to say this without, like, being ugly. But we can get ugly with inheritances. I can't speak this morning sometimes. And y'all know, you've heard of it, brothers and sisters fighting over this and fighting over that. You know what? God's inheritance that you're promised, that seal guarantees that you get, guess what? There's no need to fight over it because it's so big and it's so grand that there's all you could ever imagine, all you could ever want, all you could ever think of available to you and everyone else just like you. So when you say, Jesus, I accept you, and you get sealed with that stamp of the Holy Spirit, you get a family inheritance that's beyond anything that you could ever imagine in your life. And what Paul was saying right there is that is a guarantee. It just blows my mind. It blows my mind. It's a promise that's unfathomable and only holds true for those who have given their life to Jesus Christ. Today, more than ever in history, Christians need to understand the significance of the Holy Spirit's presence in their heart. I've said this before, and you, if you've been in church at all, you hear all the time people talking about God the Father, right? And you hear people all the time, hopefully, if you're in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Christian church, you hear conversation and talk and teaching about Jesus all the time. But it's not all the time that you hear the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, mentioned. You know why I think that is? Because it scares us. It does. It scares us. But there's nothing to be scared of. There's nothing, there's absolutely nothing to be scared of. And I hope as we continue through this morning, you will see that the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is very, 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 very important. Okay? And today, more than ever in history, we need to understand the significance of His presence in our heart. Once understood, the believer will begin to then truly experience not just His presence, but the powerful work that the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in your life. You know why I use that word wanting? Because most of the time, we don't necessarily allow Him to do the powerful work that He wants to do. Because we say, I don't know about that. Are you sure you won't use me for that? Are you going to do that in me? Can I just say this? If the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, I want to use you in this moment, or I want you to do this, if I want you, I want you to recognize that work that God is doing and get involved, and you say, oh, I don't know about that. What are you doing? We call that quenching the Spirit, right? But the Holy Spirit is wanting you to enter into that, jump into it head first. And guess who's got your back? God does. The Holy Spirit does, right? And it's important for us to understand that just when we embrace the Spirit, we embrace His presence in our heart, in our life, that guess what? Along with just His presence also comes some powerful work that He's trying to do or wanting to do. And when we understand that, man, our world can change. There's nothing more reassuring and peaceful in life than experiencing the powerful presence of God's Spirit as He works in our daily lives. If you have ever been privy to what I'm talking about, then you also understand the magnitude of its importance. Take comfort when you know the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, because that is your personal guarantee of what is yet to come. Sometimes I'm scared when I feel like the Holy Spirit is really pushing me to do something, right? But what I'm beginning to learn, right, as He... What's that old children's song? He's still working on me. Y'all know that song? Not going to sing. Mainly because I can't remember anything past, he's still working on me. to make me what I ought to be, right? When I think of that, when I think that that's how God is working on me is through His powerful Holy Spirit, it just blows my mind. Blows my mind. So, take comfort if you know the Holy Spirit is working in your life, because it's a guarantee of what's yet to come. If I get out of the way, what's coming has got to be good, y'all. And you know how I know that? Because the Bible tells me that. You know how I know that? Because God told me that. You know how I know that? Because the Spirit tells me that. You know how I know that? Because earlier in church, when everybody comes in here, they'll say, God is good. You know why people say God is good? Because they know of His goodness. They know it's true. So I mentioned earlier in our series that Jesus spent much of His last week on earth teaching and explaining to the disciples kingdom things, right? Kingdom things. Well, the night before He went to the cross, He made a lot of promises. He made some big promises to the disciples. And we're going to look at some of those. But look at verse 12 of John 14. And what does it say? Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And I'm going to pause right there. Man, Jesus did some big things, didn't He? He did some awesome things, right? Let me just lay out a few. He healed leprosy, right? He healed crippled people that couldn't walk. And get this, He raised a few people from death back to life. That's big things, y'all. And then right here to His disciples, remember, He's teaching them, explaining to them kingdom things. This is a kingdom thing, right? But He says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. You see, Jesus promised the disciples they would do massive things for the kingdom. But you know what their part in that was? They had to believe. They had to trust. They had to follow. They had to walk. They had to do what we've been talking about for weeks. What? Submit their entire self, all of who they are, to what? To His leadership, to His lordship, to His kingship. And then those things would happen. But here's the thing. I think some people get confused over that verse, because they say, well, if I follow Jesus, man, I'm going to do some pretty powerful stuff. Well, guess what? If it ain't part of God's plan, you won't. But if it is part of His plan, and you've jumped in head first, and He's doing a work, and you're part of that work, then guess what? You'll get to witness, and you'll get to experience, and you'll get to be a part of some pretty big things. And we think of things like healing leprosy, or healing crippled people, or healing somebody from death back into life, right? We think of those as big things. Can I just give you one more big thing that God can use you, if you jump in feet first, to help along the road? That is to deliver the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the Spirit is there and the Spirit is at work and He uses you to do that, then hopefully, guess what? A very big thing happens for somebody. They accept that truth and they give their heart, they give their life to Jesus Christ. And now we can back up to where we started this message and we say, when that happens for somebody, right? Here comes the seal, y'all. The Spirit of God enters that person's heart and boom, God says, there's my stamp. There's my seal. And it can't be changed. It can't be removed. It's going to be there forever until the day you stand before me. Whew. That's a big thing, y'all. That's a big thing. And I don't know about you, I love it. I can look back at various times through my life and I can see where God has used this little old boy from Walhalla, South Carolina. I'll be even more specific than that. From Ebenezer Road in West Union. Because that's where I spent most of my life growing up. But I can think back of where I have just been in a circumstance and not even with the intent of delivering the gospel, but end up witnessing where somebody gives their life to Jesus Christ and I was there and I was a part of it. What a blessing, y'all. Not to do this, but to do that. Man, I'm so glad that God let me witness that and be a part of that big thing in somebody's life, because it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So Jesus promised the disciples that they would do big things for the kingdom. Guess what? That means that we can do big things too, if we just jump in and allow Him to work, allow Him to lead, allow Him to guide us. And shortly after making this promise, He informed the disciples about the how, right? The how, which is also a promise. And we're going to look at a couple of things here. And we're not going to read it all, but I want to show you verse again in 14, verses 15 and 16, and then we're going to jump down to 25 and 26. But look what it says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. There's the promise, y'all. There's the promise. I will. Who's going to ask the Father on your behalf? Jesus. And he says, and he will, that's a promise, give you another helper. Who's he talking about? The Holy Spirit. To be with you how long? Forever. And I'm not going to get into theological debates about this and that and the other, but when I read that, if I know that I have loved Him and I'm doing my best to follow Him and keep His commandments, right, that on my behalf, Jesus is going to say, hey, that's one of ours. That's one of ours. Holy Spirit, go. And the Holy Spirit goes. And then God says, hey, when that helper gets there, it's going to be with you forever. Remember when I said earlier that God is always present? If you give your life to Jesus Christ, know this, know that, because it is a fulfillment of God's promise that His Spirit, God Himself, will be with you forever, forever. Let's keep going. let's go to 25 and 26. It says, these things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. See, Jesus is still there, right? He's teaching them, right? And then 26, but the helper, and here we get who the helper is, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. All right? Anybody say, well, gosh, I wish God would just teach me something new. There's the how, y'all. There's the how. If you got the Spirit of God living in your heart and you honestly want to learn, you honestly want to be taught something new of God, guess what? Guess how that's going to happen? In those moments where you say, okay, I'm going to shut up, God. Oh, I used that word. I'm sorry. I'm going to be quiet, God. And I'm going to listen. And the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And it says this, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Normally I say don't raise your hand, but I want you to be honest. How many of you been in church for a lot of years? Like me, I'm 51 years old, and I was in church at a week old. Been in church your whole life, right? God's been teaching you your whole life. Maybe the key to remembering all those lessons lies in listening to the Spirit that He's placed in your heart, that He's sealed in your heart. Jesus assured the disciples about the work which would take place because of the promise of receiving the Holy Spirit. Look at John 16. And we're going to read a good bit of this one because I think it's important that you hear what Jesus is saying to the disciples. And we're going to begin in the back half of 4b because this is where Jesus starts talking about the actual work of the Holy Spirit. But it says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to Him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is mine and declare it to you. We ain't got enough time to really break that down, y'all. But can I just say that? If you read back through that, you go study that, what you'll find all throughout that is the promises of the Holy Spirit. The promises from God about how the Holy Spirit actually works in your life. And it's just blessing after blessing after blessing. But Jesus explained to them, you know, that they were sad. Think about it. That Jesus was leaving. They didn't understand it either. But they were sad. He was telling them, hey, I'm about to go away, right? Now what, if we have somebody close to us that's about to go away and they tell us they're leaving, we're sad too, aren't we? They're no different. But Jesus said, hey, you know what? It's for your benefit that I go away. You know, they were sad, but Jesus was trying to explain to them, look, this is what God has put in place. This is what's necessary, not just for you, but for those to come after you. Anyone who puts their trust in me, guess what? Is going to get the power of the Holy Spirit present in their life. And then he goes on and he says, these are the promises. These are the things that will come with that. These are the things that will come with that. For those disciples, for us today, to experience the powerful workings of the Holy Spirit, we must believe in someone who is not here. Think about that. Isn't that the basis of our faith? We put all our trust and our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ. Well, guess what, guys? Physically, he was here how many thousands of years ago? Two, right? He's not physically present, right? Well, how do you experience his presence today? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, right? So we put all our faith in someone who is not even physically here. We must also believe that because of his power, that power that's working in us and through us, that remarkable things can and will happen. Guess what? Not for Mount Freedom, not for myself, but for what? The kingdom. The kingdom. Here's the thing. The work that God is doing, it's all about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. So many of us say, well, this ain't helping me. This ain't benefiting me. Well, guess what? Get over yourself. What's that lesson on humility, right, Tim? Right? Get over yourself. Because it ain't about you. It's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. What God's waiting on you to do is what? Get involved. Accept the invite. My prayer for every person, for each of you, is that you desire to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And when you experience the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you witness kingdom work, that you'll find comfort, you'll find great assurance in what? Your own salvation. Because of what? The presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart. You know, I become a Christian at a young age. Okay? Notice how I want you to think about how I said that. I became a Christian at a young age. Right? But I had no clue about how to be a Christian. And I'm at 51 years old and I got saved at 9 and a half. And I still feel like many times I ain't got a clue. But now at the age that I am at now and the place that God has me now, I find myself just soaking up and absorbing the teaching and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm not talking about the mystical side of that, okay? Because there's people who love the mystical part of that. I'm talking about the real part of that. I'm talking about when I wake up every day, right, and I say, okay, what's going to happen today is very calming and it's very reassuring to know that no matter what happens that day, right, that the Spirit of God is right there with me. And when I can embrace that and know that, it just changes how I look at things. It just really does. And I wish we had time. I could give you example after example of what I'm talking about. But you know, if you've ever experienced the power of the Holy Spirit and His presence in a very real way in your life, you know what I'm talking about. Right? You know what I'm talking about. So keeping in mind the title of our series, More Than Just a Name, I wanted to share with you, I'm going to go through this quickly, I'll speak fast if y'all listen fast. How's that sound? But I wanted to share with you a few things concerning the Holy Spirit's work in the life of the believer. I'm not going to, again, explain them with a lot of detail. I'm just going to kind of go through them real quick. But aside from directly calling the Spirit of God the Holy Spirit, the Bible also uses what we call figurative representations. Some people call them emblems, right? Okay? But those emblems or those figurative representations, they demonstrate His works. They demonstrate the work of the Spirit. In Matthew 3:16, you'll see this word dove. Let's read that. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately He went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a what? A dove. There's that representation, right? Coming to rest on Him. That dove, if we think about it, it represents the beauty and the gentleness of the character or the nature of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever just felt that? Have you ever just felt the beauty or the gentleness of the Holy Spirit in your life? You can equate that, or you can think about that like what actually happened to Jesus at His baptism. Like the dove of God landing on your shoulders and being gentle and graceful and just calming in that moment. If you've experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. Isn't it awesome? It's awesome. The Holy Spirit will never work in an ugly manner, nor out of aggression. The Holy Spirit will work in you and out of you in ways that will always be peaceful. In Matthew 3, verses 11 through 12, we see this word fire, right? Have you ever heard anyone reference the Holy Spirit as God's fire? Well, this is one of the places that they glean that from. But it says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but He who is coming after Me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then verse 12 says, His winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will clear His threshing floor and gather His wheat into the barn, but the chaff He will burn with unquenchable fire. You know what fire is? It's a representation of how the Holy Spirit can penetrate you to the depths of your heart. That scares us sometimes. We don't like for people to know the real us, y'all. Can I just say this? That's okay for the person beside you or in front of you, but you'll never hide the real you from Him. And one of the works of the Holy Spirit in your life is He will penetrate to that depth, to that level. But the other side of that is when He does that, guess what? He doesn't just burn you up and consume you and throw you away, right? He penetrates to do what? To cleanse that out of your life, to get that out of your life. You know, one of the hardest things for us to do is get rid of that one sin. I've talked about that a lot. Some of us have more than that, but everybody sitting in this room has got that one thing, that one thing. Can I just encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to find that one thing and burn it like a consuming fire? Why? So that it's gone, so that it's cleansed, so that you can walk in victory over that one thing, over that one thing. I personally like John 7, 37 and 38's reference to the presence of the Holy Spirit because it speaks about this abundant supply. Let's look at this. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink. Whoever believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Wow. You know what? When I read that, it tells me that if I'm thirsty, or I even say this, if I'm hungry for more of God, I've got access to what will what? Fulfill that. What will meet that need? What will satisfy that thirst? What will satisfy that hunger? What it tells me is that I will continually have access to God. But how do I get that? I got to have the Spirit sealed in my heart. I got to have the Spirit sealed in my heart. It also, those verses also remind me of the sufficiency of grace. and how it helps me live in the world that we live in. When Christians talk about God's grace being enough, these two verses is one of the references to the Holy Spirit that reminds me of this truth. Stop saying it as a cliche, y'all. Believe it. Trust it. Know it. When we say that God's grace is enough, God's grace is sufficient, guess what? That's a truth from Scripture. That's a promise from God. When I'm thirsty for Jesus and I need grace, I don't have to do anything or I don't have to travel anywhere, right? All I got to do is search my heart and I got to ask the Spirit, hey, you know what? I need some grace in this moment. I need some love in this moment. I need some mercy in this moment. And if the Spirit's present and He's there, guess what He's going to do? He's going to be faithful to say, okay, boom, here it is. Here it is. Now, these are not the only representations in the Bible concerning the Holy Spirit, but I wanted to just give you a few of those, and those are a couple of my favorites. Why? Because I wanted to encourage you today. I wanted to encourage you in your faith. I also hope that to show that speaking of the Holy Spirit carries with it, I guess, a heavier weight or a larger weight than what we often think about. Does that make sense? In other words, we got to stop being flippant about the Holy Spirit or ignoring the Holy Spirit. Because the last time I checked, God exists how? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And again, we'll acknowledge the Father and the Son, but oftentimes we forget about the Holy Spirit. We got to stop doing that. Why? Because who's with us now? The Holy Spirit. People say, oh, I just don't feel God. I promise you, He's there. Stop ignoring the Holy Spirit, and guess what? You might recognize, well, wait a minute, God is here. Stop being flippant when you talk about the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You might recognize, wait a minute, God is here. God is here. It's also true that without the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart, there is no guarantee of your salvation. I'm not trying to create doubt, okay? Because if you know, you know. You've heard people say that? Well, I know. If you know, you do know. There's a lot of no's in there, isn't it? You'll also know that if you don't truly have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you'll know that. And if that's not the case, then you do not have that guarantee that we talked about earlier. Amen. And I'm not being ugly with you. I'm being truthful with you. I'm being truthful with you. If you don't have that guarantee, if you don't have that seal of salvation, then there's no guarantee of that eternal inheritance, right? And if you do not have a guarantee of eternal inheritance with the Father, then your guarantee is that of eternal damnation. Say, preacher, why you use them mean, ugly words? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. For those that love Jesus, they get a guarantee to live forever in the presence of their Creator. For those that deny Jesus, they get a different guarantee. It's eternal as well, but it's one of damnation. It's one of separation. I want to show you. Revelation 21, 5 through 8, he says, and he who was seated on the throne, who is that? Jesus. This is what he said. Behold, I'm making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I like that, y'all. You know why? He says, hey, here's my guarantee. This is the truth. Don't listen to anybody else. Go ahead and write it down. Make a point. Pay attention to this, because what I'm about to say is absolutely 100% true. And this is what he says. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. In other words, what? Beginning to end. Beginning and end, to the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. Why? Because he already paid it, right? And he says, the one who conquers will have this heritage or this inheritance, this guarantee, and I will be his God and he will be my son. But, there's that but, right? As for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Now look, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. If you believe in me, you get a great guarantee. If you scoff at me and you deny me, you get a guarantee, but it's not a great one. We talked about fire earlier in a good sense. The fire he talked about there is not in a good sense. It's not in a good sense. So I want to close by just saying this. We've gone through this series about more than just a name. And I hope, gosh, I hope, not that you've just heard my heart, but you've heard God say, look, you got to look at me at more than just saying, hey, yeah, I believe in God. I hope you've heard that Jesus has spoke to you and said, you know, you got to stop looking at me as just some other dude. And I hope maybe for the first time, I don't know, you realize that the Holy Spirit is very present. It's very prevalent. He's very active. He's absolutely, without a doubt, at work in our lives. And I hope as we've gone through this series that you've understood or you've come to this understanding that, man, God's a big deal. That Jesus Christ, our Savior, is a big deal. That the work and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in my heart and in my life, guess what? It's a big deal. It's a humongous deal. But here's the kicker. If you ain't give your life to Jesus, you ain't accepted the invitation, then guess what? You don't get access to the guarantee of the big deal. And I don't want you to leave here today without that. God don't want you, more importantly, to leave here today without that. And again, I'm not trying to create doubt. But I want you to know that you know that you know. There's all those no's again, but I'm being serious. And like I said, I was saved at 9.5 years old. But y'all know when I knew that I knew that I knew? At about 32 years old. Because I'm, you know, just how I am. But man, I know, oh my gosh, y'all. I know how it is now. I know how it is now. And when I actually recognize the work of God in my life and the work of the Spirit in my life and the power and the things, the kingdom stuff that's happening, I just say, God, how in the world are you letting me be part of that? I don't deserve that. I don't. But he looks and says, oh yeah, you do. Because you mine. Because you mine. That's all I want for you. I just want you to embrace him, accept his invitation, and leave here today different than what you came, and just be blown away by it. Be blown away by it. Because that's just how God is. It's just how he does things. Now, we've had a great day of celebrating. And we're going to play a song of invitation. And this song's a little different. I'll admit it, okay? But y'all know me. I sometimes am a little different. If you recognize the song, that's great. If you don't, as the first couple verses go through, I just want you to listen to the words. Listen to, it's called In the Room. It's called In the Room. But you know, an invitation is what? We've been talking about invitation all morning. What is it that God's inviting you to do this morning? Is he inviting you to give your life to him? Hey, do it. Accept the invitation. Is he inviting you to join the work that he's doing? Do it. Is he inviting you, if you're already a Christian, just to get on your face and say, I'm sorry, God? Do it. Just do it. Can we put it on the screen? Is it on the screen, Brian? Again, this is not for me. If you need to come accept the invitation, come accept that invitation, whatever it is today. I'll be here if you need. So let me explain that song to you real quick. For several weeks, I was praying, Spirit, Holy Spirit, I just want to be present. I just want to see you do great things in this community. I just want to be in your presence. And then I was just sitting there working, and this song started playing because I had a playlist going. And I'd never heard this song. And it just started saying, I just want to be in the room. And I thought, that's it, God. That's it. I just want to be in the room when somebody gives their life to Christ. I just want to be in the room when somebody gets healed. I just want to be in the room when somebody says, hey, I'm going to stop pretending and I'm going to get serious. Why? Because it's awesome. Amen. And it's a big deal. And that's what it's all about here. That's what it's all about here. And then I started thinking, you know what? If I'm guaranteed of my salvation, there's going to be a day where I'm going to be in the room. Oh, man, that really gets me fired up. I said that song is a different song. That's not your normal invitation song. But, man, I just want to be in the room, y'all. I just want to be in his presence. Well, guess what? He's here. He's here. And I love it. I love it. And guess what? Y'all in the room, we already talked about it. I knew it was going to happen, but it's still awesome. We got Jeff and Terry and Deidre, and they've come to do what? Join this craziness. And I love it. Come on, y'all can come up. It's a big deal. Amen. Terry says, I don't know why I'm nervous. What'd I tell you? Because it's a big deal. It's a big deal. When God moves and God's at work and you recognize it and you see it, man, it's something to be celebrated, y'all. It's something to be, I don't know, excited about. And look, Jackie said earlier, we got a room full of people, and that's all the praise report. Y'all know sometimes as a pastor, I stand up here and I'm clapping, I'm stomping, I'm preaching, I'm doing all this stuff. And I've told you before, it ain't a show. I promise you, if you really knew me, it ain't me. But sometimes when all that stuff's happening to me, I'm thinking, this guy, I can't be the only one this is happening to. And then I look, and y'all sitting there like this. If the Spirit of God's moving in your life, get excited about it. Hey, look, ain't nothing embarrassing. If these guys can come up here and let me embarrass them for a few minutes talking about their achievements and their accomplishments, then you can get up and say, hey, let me tell you what Jesus is doing. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit led me to do on his behalf with him right there beside me every step of the way. And I've said this before, we'll stop in the middle of the road and we'll get out and we'll shout and we'll celebrate. And it ain't none of this stuff. It's all about him, y'all. Amen. It's all about praising him, worshiping him, and giving him his honor and his glory and his praise. That's what being a Christian is truly about. So if he's invited you and you've ignored the invitation today, that's okay, because I'm going to keep praying. He's going to lower you through the roof, or he's going to drag you through the door, whatever it takes to get you to hear that invitation and accept it. Now, Jeff and Terry and Deidre, man, I'm glad you've come. I'm glad you're going to join us. We're different, right? We don't do the vote thing in. They've read our bylaws. They've agreed to what's in that. They agree with our faith statement. That's basically who we are, who we say we are, right? And they see that that's true, and they agree with that. And they've come and they said, well, we won't be a part of that. And their backstory too is they were here at the very beginning. And I told them when we met, isn't it great that you go through different steps or different seasons in life, and then you're in a new season now, and guess where you're at? You're right back where God had you in the very beginning. At least for Mount Freedom, you were here at the very beginning. So they're going to stay up here. I'm going to pray. We're going to dismiss. I'm going to ask my graduates too. Y'all come back up on the stage. I might not see you for a long time. I want to get every bit of aggravation and embarrassment I can. I'm going to ask them to come forward too. And look, after I pray and we dismiss, just come love on them, congratulate them, welcome Jeff and Terry and Deidre to our family. And tonight is what, 6:15 for the video. If you're going to come for experiencing God, 6:30.
Unit 4.
Is it 5 or is it? No, I'm talking about the time.
Yeah, okay. Oh, excuse me. 5 o'clock.
Okay. 5 o'clock for experiencing God. We do one on Sunday and one on Wednesday, and they got different times, so we'll get it right. 5 o'clock if you come in for experiencing God. Hey, and if you say, hey, they're already 4 or 5 weeks in, that's okay. Even if you don't even have the book, it's okay.
Yeah,
You're going to get something out of it, I promise you. You're going to get something out of it. All right, can we pray and then go home? Or, well, love on everybody and then we'll go home. God, love it. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love. But Lord, we don't say that flippantly this morning. We recognize that you are all those things and so much more. Jesus, we thank you for the fact that you went to the cross. And as we talked about this morning, you've already paid the price. And because you paid the price, I get access to heaven. I get access to the Father for free. So Jesus, thank you for that. And Holy Spirit, may we never forget your presence in our heart and in our lives. May we sit down and listen. May we get still and be quiet so that we can anticipate and listen and hear what it is that you have to say. Teach us, lead us, guide us, push us into the work for the kingdom. And may we accept that and walk into that just bravely, boldly, and courageously in your name. Father, as we go today, we just thank you that you've blessed us this morning with a great morning. And we love you and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.